With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Brian Anderson, Brian of Geneva, former Indians pitcher, now the color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. B.A., how are you?
I am good, and just to set the record straight, I am actually at Powerhouse Gym in Tampa, Florida, because we are not traveling. So,
oh, I forgot. Yeah, I did.
Which, by the way, I didn't really realize it until we got closer to the season, and then it dawned on me, and I thought, well, that's going to kind of stink from time to time, and that is we obviously broadcast the games when they're being played. So when they're on the West Coast and the game started at 6:30, we're not going on the air until 9:30. So it makes for some long nights and very weird days.
B.A., I don't want to get you in any trouble here, but, I mean, how much longer is this going on? I'm watching fans in Kansas City with no masks on behind the – and a pretty good crowd in Kansas City, and I'm saying to myself, why can't the broadcasters travel yet? This doesn't make sense, because I've been listening to some broadcasts, and I've heard some pretty frustrated – broadcasters that, I mean, if you get a bad TV crew on the other side that's not paying attention to stuff, they miss stuff. And I feel bad for the folks trying to call the game.
You know what? There's a lot to unravel here.
Digest.
I will tell you this. What I was told the other day, because we have been bouncing around. Our first series, we played the Marlins, and so we were in our Fort Lauderdale studio because the studio in Tampa wasn't ready yet. And then the team went to Boston, and we did those games from Tropicana Field. And then they finally got our Tampa studio set, and our executives were there just a couple of days ago. And in just casual conversation, it was kind of intimated to me that we're going to be here the rest of the year. There will be no travel this year. That's kind of what I gleaned from the conversation was, in fact, one of them said, you're going to be here all year. And I don't know if he was saying that in jest, but it certainly seemed that he was sending the message, don't even think about traveling until next year. That's the feeling that I got. So that's number one. Number two, I got to tell you, you miss the ballpark and the sights and the sounds, but it is not as difficult as you would think. And what you really need more than anything else, and I think where guys get into trouble, is because you're right about the other crew. You know, when the team is on the road, it's their TV crew that is controlling all of the cameras and the replays. So that's the one thing that I learned, is that there are times where a play happens and I know exactly where I want to go with my analysis. And if I start too soon, the replay that they show may not support the angle that I'm taking. And so all of a sudden I'm saying something that makes perfect sense to me, and the people at home are going, but that camera, what are you talking? It's not adding up. And so I learned that because they are in control, when a play happens, I may know the angle of analysis I want to take, but I've got to wait a beat to see what replay and angle they're going to go with, what camera shot they're going to go with for the replay. And then I can either proceed with my analysis and how I want to do it, or I've got to find a way to tie in how I want to break this play down with what they're showing, or I've got to completely abandon ship and go down their road. And then maybe circle back. So that has been really the only challenge, and that just involves trying to be quick on your feet and waiting. You just got to wait a beat before you start with your analysis, because, like, when we're at home, a play happens, and I immediately go into my analysis. My crew, they know me, they know where I'm going, and so they know how to support it with the replays.
Sure.
And so it's very seamless. Where on the road, it's not. I have to wait to see what they're going to show and then proceed. And it's a little bit different. But once you get the hang of that, it can be more challenging. But it can also be more fun because you have no idea what they're going to show, and you just get used to it. But I can understand how, that can be frustrating, because if you're used to doing things a certain way, it's not going to be real good for you.
But Brian, if the announcers do even an adequate job, the people at home don't know the difference. And so the television powers that be, and I get it completely, it's expensive to rent trucks and, crew an entire game and everything else. And it's a wave of the future, and it's probably going to, in the long run, I think, be really good for our end of the business. It might not be as good for the teams, because, I would think, you might not pay as much in rights fees. I don't know. It's an interesting proposition here, because it's certainly a way to save a lot of money in broadcasting professional sports.
You are 100% right, which is why you wonder. I think that there have been businesses across the board that have learned that they can become more efficient. Through going through the pandemic, they have learned ways to be more efficient and maybe come to the realization, we really don't need to do A, B, and C. We got just as much work done, if not more, and we actually cut back. And so, where that can be scary, for some people, and, it's also – I think just the reality of what we have gone through and are continuing to go through, albeit at a lesser extent, which is good. But you're right, because when you think about what we do to travel, for us to do a game on the road, Bally Sports, they send a minimum of 7 people on the road. Now, yeah. Fortunately for us, we're on the team plane, and I don't know if there's a separate deal to where they've got to pay for us to be on that plane. I'm not sure how that works, but we're on the team plane and there's 7 of us. There is the play-by-play, color analyst, sideline reporter, producer, director, graphics, and replay. That's 7 people minimum. And that's a hotel room every night for each one of them, at a 5-star hotel. So that's costing them dough. And then you're talking about per diems. You're talking about rental cars, the crews on the road. It gets to be extremely expensive. And if they can sit home, like you just said, Phelpsy, if they can sit at home and say, you know what, there really is no difference in the broadcast. I mean, maybe you're able to tell something from time to time, but overall it's pretty seamless. Then why in the world would you spend that extra money?
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes sense on why they would say, we don't need to do this, and it's just as good.
All right, let me get to inside baseball stuff right now. What do you think about Albert Pujols getting – released? And if you're the Indians, I don't know, did I see the Rays on the list? No, I didn't see the Rays on this betting list this morning. If you're the Indians, are you interested?
You know what? I'll tell you. I saw the, first of all, he was released during, our series, of course. And you knew right away that once it happened, once the news broke, you knew that the wheels had been in motion, a lot sooner than yesterday. Because – you read the tweet from Mike DiGiovanna, their beat writer, talking about Pujols was not real happy because his numbers off Ryan Yarbrough, who was going to be pitching for us a couple of nights ago, he was 6-for-9, I think, with 2 homers, 2 doubles, and 7 runs batted in, and they did not have him in the lineup. And Joe Maddon was not the person that did not have him in the lineup. It came from upstairs. And you immediately realized, they had this in motion for a while, because guess what? If they do play Pujols 2 nights ago and against Ryan Yarbrough, he lives up to those numbers, hits a home run, drives in 2 or 3 runs. Well, guess what? You can't release him the next day, designate him for assignment. So they just had to keep him out of the lineup, knowing full well what was coming down the pike. So that had been in the works. And what I'm hearing is the last couple of weeks, they have been trying to figure out how they were going to make that move happen. That's number one, and I think that's a sad way for him to go out in Anaheim. If you knew a month into the season that it was going to be possible to get rid of him, why even proceed? Just work something out in the winter. And I don't even know why you go down that road, but I'll tell you what, after watching the Angels for four games, that is a dumpster fire of a team. I mean, the Rays didn't even play that well. They didn't even play that well, and they swept them. I mean, it was a dumpster fire of a team, and I'm actually looking down the road when the Angels come in to play the Rays in St. Pete at Tropicana Field. I'm looking to maybe take those games off because I don't think I can watch it anymore. That's number two. It was rough, boys. But you know what? I saw the group of five teams that they came out immediately, and yes, the Indians, it made my little antennae stand up because I thought, well, you know what? If the Indians aren't getting a whole lot of production at first base, then maybe you take a flyer. You're going to have to pay him the minimum. That's it. The Angels are on the hook for all of his money. And so don't do any kind of a trade. Let them release him. And why wouldn't you bring him in? Why not? Catch lightning in a bottle. You get a guy who's going to be pretty determined to prove the Angels wrong. You haven't had any production from that position anyway. So that was really interesting to me. And I don't know how they're looking at it up in Cleveland or what is being talked about up there. But I did think that out of the five potential landing spots, that to me was the most intriguing.
I passed, Brian, and the only reason I passed was I don't think he has it anymore, and I just thought, all right, I want to see, is there anything there with Jake Bowers, and if not, I want to see Bobby Bradley, but I did throw out if Pujols was capable of doing what he did a couple of years ago, where he hit 23 and drove in like 90 runs, okay, maybe. It just doesn't feel right to me. You've been in situations like that where you've got a great player at the end of his career. How does that play in the clubhouse, BA?
You know, I don't know. That's interesting. You know, they were talking about that this morning on one of the national radio shows about how that would play in the clubhouse. You know, how you treat your superstar players, and I'm like, but the game has gotten so young. His teammates, they know about what he did a decade ago. Does that resonate as much now? Because since they've been around him, he's been mediocre. I mean, he's not been this. He's been a shell of himself. And so I wonder how that has gone over in the clubhouse. I don't think that they handled it very well. And like I said, the team it's not a very good team, and they're not playing very good baseball right now. So I think there's a lot of, you know, disgruntled players in that, you know, Angel locker room. But, you know, but to your other point, I totally get what you're saying. I mean, I thought it was intriguing that maybe you would look into it, but the last thing you want to do is take at bats away from guys that you want to see what they have and if they're going to be part of the future for a guy who, you're right, he clearly is not the same player. And in fact, he had a base running gap. Well, I'll just say that he had a base running gap where he decided shortly after rounding first base that he was going to go to second base and try to make a play. And I'm not kidding you, in real time, it looked like we were running super slow-mo. I could not believe it was, and what, you know what the worst part is? Let's rewind to what we were talking about earlier. The replays that we get come from the Angels TV crew. And right. They showed him running from first to second from like four different angles. I'm like, in fact, I even said on our air, I'm like, they must hate him in Anaheim. Why would you keep showing that over and over? It was painful to watch in real time, let alone in replays. And you just realize that his body is just, it has broken down. It is breaking down. He's just not the same player. So if everybody took a pass and his career was over, you actually could understand it, unfortunately.
Yeah, also, isn't there a psychology aspect here, too? And I know the Indians don't have the greatest hitters in the world. I can look at the stats and see that. But and he's not hitting the ball. You know, if he was hitting the ball, he'd still be in Anaheim. But, there's got to be a worry. And timing, I think, has to have something to do with it. The Indians have won 9 of the last 11 games. And I don't know if you – I mean, do you want to bring in a $30 million a year guy who's being paid by another team to come into an atmosphere where you got a lot of young guys that – or, you know, a lot of them are starting their career, and they're playing good baseball. I mean, yeah, I would think the Indians would have to take that into consideration.
They would, and they will.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't think that bringing him into any clubhouse as a human being, as a mentor, as an example Even with his skills being diminished, and I know that's a phrase that we don't like to hear in Cleveland. I think that was that Belichick and Kosar, diminishing skills.
Right.
Even with all that, he's going to be a great example. He's going to set a great example, and he would be great for the clubhouse. However, you don't want to upset the apple cart either. And the Indians, you're right, they're playing great baseball over the last couple of weeks. The thing about it is that this is a decision that doesn't have to be made right now, because they're going to have to let him go through the waiver wire process to see if anybody's going to make a trade for him. Then they'll outright release him. Then he'll become an unrestricted free agent. And then maybe you'll have to think about it. So the Indians have some time, to go over, whether they want to even consider this or not. So it's not like the decision has to be made today. And so we'll wait and see. But you can certainly see everybody passing for one reason or the other. And that would be as good a reason as any for the Indians. Look, we've got young players. We're playing good baseball. There's just no reason to go down that road. And quite frankly, from our internal, when we look at things, he's not going to be able to help us. And so we're going to go in this direction. And that would be totally understandable.
All right, BA. Well, enjoy your day in Tampa. What's the weather like down there? Nice?
Don't ask.
Exactly. Don't ask. It's what we wish for in Cleveland every single day from like June to August.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Just so you know, it's baseball weather up here right now. 46 degrees and cloudy. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's coming, boys. It's coming. It's going to break.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for the optimism. He is Brian Anderson, super friend of the show. Have an outstanding weekend, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, you too. Thank you.
See you, Brian.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.